All right.
All right. Welcome to our virtual meeting. If you lose connection at any point during the meeting, you can reconnect by clicking the link or calling the number in your original email. To members and city staff, members, if you are able, please activate your video and keep it on for the duration of the meeting. Staff, if you are able, please activate your video when you are speaking. The chair and committee staff are responsible for muting and unmuting committee members. Use the raise hand feature when you'd like to be recognized to speak, ask questions, or request a roll call vote. During any roll call, all panelists will be unmuted briefly. Staff, click raise hand when you are asked a question. The chair will do their best to call on committee members in the order in which hands are raised. Lowering your hand will take you out of the queue. Members of the public who are registered to speak, which we do not have any for this meeting. And so, Chair, the floor is yours.
All right. So, not having a chair, we'll need to have someone be nominated and have to take a vote for an individual to serve as temporary chair for the meeting. Is there anyone who would like to nominate a fellow board member?
I nominate Lou.
Is there a second? George?
I'll second that.
Rich will second that. All right. All in favor for Lou serving as temporary chair for this meeting, please keep your hand lowered. If you oppose, please raise your hand. Seeing none, Lou? I believe you will be the temporary chair for the meeting.
I accept.
Excellent. All right. Do you want to start? Or are you looking for some help here? We have no public comment registered for today. Actually, we would start with approval of minutes.
Yep, we got the approval of minutes. Is there anyone that wants to review them and or make a motion?
I move that we approve the minutes as written.
Second the motion.
All in favor, say aye. Or, nope, how does it go? If you're opposed, raise your hand. Looks like motion passes unanimously.
Next up on the agenda is public comment, for which we have none. Followed by disclosures and recusals.
Disclosures or recusals? None noted. So let's go on to new business.
All right. In new business, we have one item under for consideration today. This item is a continuation of our previous meeting's discussion, is meant to be general topic here. And what we are looking for is clarification from the board and a more clear determination relative to the variances that this city will issue relative to ceiling height in one and two family dwellings. There are multiple sections within the Wisconsin UDC that clarify different areas and pieces and parts of a building, particularly general and common areas, and then several sections that reference areas inside of bathrooms. Historically speaking, and look, we've got Jim here, so I'm going to let him in.
Finally, I figured it out. It was some kind of update that didn't tell me it needed, but finally it came up. So
All
sorry about
right.
that.
Jim, welcome. In your absence, we've already elected Lou temporary chair for the meeting here.
Works for me.
We weren't sure if you were going to make it, so we are on to item number one. Sorry, item number two, where we're discussing the historic precedent standard for ceiling heights. And As I had previously in previous meetings mentioned, what I am asking for is direction from the board as to how you would like for our office to administer that precedent, particularly with regards to other areas in the building that are not generally designated as common areas, living spaces, or bedrooms. Specifically within the UDC, there are areas in bathrooms, inside of tubs, front edges. We have not historically applied those ceiling height precedent standards to those areas because they are specifically called out in the UDC individually. We have applied the precedents to the general living area. So we're thinking about bedrooms, we're thinking about common area space, living room, family room, dining area, but not those other areas specifically called out in bathrooms. What I am asking for is whether or not the board feels that it would be appropriate for that precedent to be applied across the board relative to all ceiling heights called out in the Wisconsin UDC. And so, just as a point of reference, our minimum standard for a ceiling height variance, or I should say the maximum allowable threshold, is 6 foot 8 inches. If you are below the 6 foot 8 inch threshold, the ceiling height requirement is 7 feet. So, that's a 4 inch variance. You are eligible by historic precedent if you are willing to install interconnected smoke detectors between the affected levels and the main level of the home. The thought process was that the interconnected smoke detector allows an individual additional time to exit in the event that smoke starts to accumulate. Obviously, it's going to accumulate at a lower level than the typical 7 feet if you don't have that. So that was the method that was deemed to be equivalent here. So that is what I am asking for from the board here today, and for a motion that we either should or should not apply that historic precedent standard to all ceiling spaces.
So how do you propose, Kyle, to go about that? Do you want to go through, you cited a few different code things there, sections rather, things. Should we go through item by item just to see if everybody agrees it applies to that particular item, or how should we frame this all?
So, I would recommend the following. I would say that if individuals on the boards felt that specific code sections warranted an individualized discussion, that certainly it would be worth having that. What you will notice is that if you look at each one of those code sections in 321.06, 3, 4, 5, and 6, it is effectively all referencing areas within bathrooms, just specific elements. So inside of a tub at the front edge of a toilet. So we're really talking about one generalized area. If the board felt like it was important to separate something out, we could certainly do that. Ultimately, what this is going to be is this is going to be a determination as to how we administer these requests. We receive requests for ceiling height variances periodically. And oftentimes, individuals want to incorporate bathrooms into whatever design needs a variance. What we're looking for is really that guidance as to how you want to apply the ceiling height variance for that type of area.
Can I make a quick statement?
Lou, I assume you're. I should mute myself because Lou, you're running this meeting, so you should be unmuted and I should be muted. I keep wanting to say something. It's like, no, don't. So I'm gonna mute myself.
Jim, George.
All right. To move this along, I'm going to just suggest that in areas where we have non-sloped ceilings, such as the one we had last month, where it was in a basement, that we just lower that threshold to the 6 foot 8 that we have throughout the rest of that lowered area. And then we can discuss what we want to do if we have slope ceilings that might be incorporate a shower or a toilet, how we would handle those. But my initial thought is that if you're going to have a allow 6 foot 8 throughout an entire basement, you should just allow 6 foot 8 in a bathroom that's in the basement. So, and then we can talk about what would happen if this would be up on a second floor with a slope ceiling, where let's say it may be 6 foot 8 in the vast majority of the attic, but we're going to have areas where the ceiling slopes and what we're going to do with a minimum threshold for areas.
Don?
Yeah, I think I agree with that, George. I think what I would just to clarify, if we proceed with this, we're not just referring to bathrooms. Is that correct, Kyle? Referring to any room that would be at 6 foot 8. So we basically say you could build a house or you could remodel a space. 6 foot 8 could be a ceiling height in every room in the building.
Yeah, so not necessarily build a house, right? So variances are going to
Yeah,
be
correct.
applied
Yes.
towards areas where you cannot meet the code because you are constrained. So this would
Right.
not be something that you would be eligible for on a new build, say an
Correct.
addition or something of that nature. However, if you have an existing condition that is constrained that you are either trying to finish or remodel, in most instances, it's going to be taking an unfinished area and now making it a finished area. Think basement, think attics type space. Then it would apply to that. So what we look at is we say the historic variance applies to section 1A. Rooms may have a ceiling height less than 7 feet, provided 50% of the room's area has a ceiling height of at least 7 feet. Any area with a ceiling height less than 5 feet may be ignored in that calculation. Right. So we look at that and we're talking about basically all of the rooms that aren't otherwise specifically called out in this section, where you start getting to ceiling heights at the front edge of a water closet, lavatory, in a bathtub, which are all these other subsections I'm being asked to evaluate here.
Okay.
So what we do is we take a total look at the entirety of the room's area. We look at the ceiling height across that room and make sure that first you have 50% of the threshold that meets the minimum requirement of 7 feet. Or a variance, if you're seeking a variance, for whatever that height you have between 6'8" and 7 feet. If you're over 50%, you're good to go. Obviously, we remove anything that's 5 feet or less because the code tells us to do that from the area calculation. Last thing I'll just mention here, because I know that the board's discussing it and it's relevant for you to know how we look at it and how we enforce here. When somebody's asking for a ceiling height variance relative to a sloped ceiling, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the area basically between 5 feet and 7 feet. And we're going to establish, are you greater than 50%? If you are, you already meet the code. If you're not greater than 7 feet, or sorry, if you are greater than 50% of the area as being less than 7 feet, then we're looking at if you were to have a variance, how does that work into it? And we'll also apply 6 foot 8 as basically being the minimum you could have on that slope when we're talking about in a bathroom, right? When it talks about those specific ceiling heights or those specific ceiling areas. So that's a long way of saying we get a lot of weird situations that come up. When we're evaluating slope ceilings, we basically take the lowest point and we consider that to be the ceiling height in that particular area.
That makes sense. I think the follow-up then is, are we only we're only kind of ruling on flat ceilings in this today, and the slope question would be a secondary.
No, I'm asking for you to basically rule on everything here. What I'm telling you is how we
Okay.
apply the slope ceiling rule as far as establishing what is the ceiling height when the ceiling height has a slope. It's 6 foot 8 here, then it's 6 foot 9, then it's 6 foot 10, then it's 11, right? And so you just keep on progressing. For the purposes of us trying to calculate it out and make a determination, we're going to look at something and go, well, if it's, for example, over a bathtub and it slopes to 6 foot 7, you are now below the you would be below the threshold for what you could get a variance for. So we would say no go. The code says you have to have a minimum area or a minimum height in this particular area,
Understood.
right? So even though maybe three quarters of it is good, the fact that you're below the minimum at some point in that defined area is a problem for you.
Got it.
Richard?
So just to clarify it, so if somebody like downtown, if they want to develop an attic space into a bedroom, would this go into effect as far as it would cover the whole bedroom area? I know you'd have a sloped ceiling. So it would be 6 foot 8 as long as they meet what, 7 foot at 50% of that space?
Yeah, so a bedroom would already be, this would already be applicable to, because we have a precedent that's established for those types of areas. And what we would look at is going to be if you are seeking a variance and you are installing hardwired smoke detectors throughout the building as an equivalent means, that your ceiling height can drop from 7 feet to 6 foot 8. And then we would proceed from that point forward, right? So the code would effectively read rooms may have ceiling heights of less than 6 foot 8, provided at least 50% of the room has a ceiling height of 6 foot 8, and any area within the ceiling height of 5 feet may be ignored. Think of it from that perspective. That is how we would approach it.
Jim? Jim, you
Yeah,
want to add?
just trying to figure out how to unmute myself. I thought somebody was going to unmute me, but I didn't have. Anyway, so what do we do in a case where they clearly have, I don't know if this had happened, but you know, if you can say, oh, they could easily make that ceiling 7 feet, but they want to make it 6'8" and they automatically get that, even
No,
if.
we're going to make you do it. So you have to demonstrate some level of hardship to be able to qualify for any type of variance to begin with. So
Okay.
the first question we always ask an individual when they're coming is, what prevents you from meeting the code requirements? Often in the case of ceiling height, it's because I'm constrained either by a roof deck or by a floor system for a floor above. So think of your basement. I've only got a certain amount of distance from my floor to my from the basement floor to the floor joists of the first floor, or a roof deck in an attic type space. And so the hardship in that instance is I can't lift my building up, at least not feasibly, or I can't raise my roof deck, at least not feasibly. Whereas if you came to me and you said, I've got 7.5 feet in my basement and I want to set a f ceiling height of 6 foot 8, we would say, nope, not going to do it.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
So, in order to move forward, Kyle, do you just have to make a motion?
Yeah, what I would like is a motion from an individual on the board basically saying, we believe that you should extend out the existing precedent to the entirety of 321.06.
Look.
I think that would be a good way to phrase it here, because
Okay.
that is the code section that references all of the ceiling heights. It's the three, four, five, six sections are the ones that we've gotten hung up on previously.
I guess I would
Let's
make a motion.
go.
Yeah.
Go
Go
ahead.
ahead, Lou.
Sean, can you say that again?
Oh, sorry. I just, yeah, I guess I would make a motion to extend the variance to SBS 321.06, 3 through 6.
Any seconds?
I was going to say, I'll second that.
Yeah, I'll have it. So, but George seconded. All in favor, do not raise your hand. Motion carries. Jim, any more dis did I do it wrong?
I didn't know if I could vote or not. I should have asked before the vote. Doesn't matter though.
I was gonna say you should vote, so all right.
Technically, I could vote, Kyle.
That is correct, right? So with Lou being the temporary chair for the meeting, you've abdicated your chair responsibilities. You do retain voting rights then as a as an attending member.
Thank you.
AJ.
Yeah, I just had a question. Is this now like a internal bulletin for us then, or what is it then?
So here's the way that this would happen. So what will the motion will have carried here. I will update my plan review staff as well as my inspection staff so that when individuals are coming to us to ask questions about what they can and can't get a variance for and what situations they may have encountered, we have now more clear guidance that we can give them that if you meet these circumstances in these situations, you would be eligible to receive a variance or you would not be eligible to receive a variance. Very often we would receive those requests for finishing a basement, finishing a second floor area space, and a person comes in and they want to, in addition to creating a living space, adding a bedroom, add another bathroom on. And what I really wanted was just a clear affirmation from the board that, yes, we think that we should just extend this all the way throughout to the ceiling height throughout that entire space. This gives us the ability to give clear guidance to the people who are coming to us and asking for us for design advice. And it gives us the ability to basically say we have a uniform standard across the board. Now, this is what you can go forward and this is how you can approach it. We do not put out a public notice like, oh, you can go down to 6'8". We always tell a person, we want you to get it as good as you possibly can before you become constrained by your environment. So if you can get it to 6'9" or you can get it to 6'10" or 6'11", you should do that. This is where there's some discretion involved on our part where we go, do we believe that that is true or not true as far as you are actually constrained? And if we reasonably conclude that you are telling us the truth and that you are constrained by your environment and that the situation would be eligible for a variance, then we will help walk you through that process. If we don't, we're going to make you prove it further or we're going to say, hey, you got to meet the code. But that's where the discretionary element of code enforcement comes into play. All right. From here, we have communications and announcements. So I have one communication. So between our last meeting and this meeting, the state of Wisconsin did adopt and implement the 2021 version of the IBC code for commercial buildings with a series of Wisconsin amendments. Our department is going through the process of comparing and contrasting. Obviously, anytime you have 1,000 pages worth of code documents and you change a half a dozen words in one particular section on page 532, shockingly, that doesn't always immediately get caught. We are working on kind of figuring things out. Our hope is that having gone through the state trainings that will be coming up here in December, January, we're going to get a better sense of it. We are learning things as we come about. Just from a point of note for anybody out there who's doing designs or wondering, hey, what are some of the things? We've identified that there are some expansions of some of the accessibility requirements as far as turnarounds and bathrooms, so that can impact commercial designers when they're designing the interior of their buildings. There are some additional elements related to smoke alarms. They now need to have low frequency tone, which is impactful relative to what you can buy on market. So on market right now, you get that kind of really high pitched tone. My understanding is that the 2021 code has adopted a low frequency requirement here to assist for individuals that have hearing needs. So if you have hearing needs, you have hearing aids, you take those out at night potentially to go to sleep. The smoke alarm goes off. It goes off at that high pitch and the person is not able to pick it up, whereas it is more easily discernible for individuals with hearing needs at a lower frequency. So we're learning about those things as they come up. We're trying to communicate them out to our contractors as well as other departments that have enforcement aspects as well here. And yeah, it's been a bit of a go, and I imagine it will be so for a few months. So.
So kind of when you say off market, these aren't available to purchase?
So as best we can tell, there is one manufacturer who purchases or who manufactures a smoke alarm that can independently produce the frequency tone required in the code. The alternative is to tie the smoke alarms into the fire alarm system within the unit. So that way, when the smoke alarm gets triggered, the fire alarm, which has the capacity to trigger that type of tone, then fires in that unit. Those are the two pathways. Right now, manufacturers need to kind of catch up and create a standalone unit if they want to. Matt will be able, I think, to be able to speak on that a little bit more as well.
Yeah, if you'd like me to speak on that. So this is a they changed it from this was a requirement for ADA rooms for people with hearing loss prior to 2021. So only when you had a person that required that had hearing loss, and they changed it to everybody based on some of the success rates based on these lower frequencies, the 520 megahertz or hertz, sorry. As Kyle said, there's not a standalone like go to Menards and buy a smoke. We call them smoke alarms. Smoke alarms are different than smoke detectors. So the smoke detector, you can't just go to, or smoke alarm, you just can't go to Menards and buy a low frequency one at this point. They do not meet the battery requirements. There's a bigger, a larger power drain on the battery. That's the crutch with them. So in buildings, mainly R1 and R2, hotels, motels, and apartments. Where a fire alarm system is required, so all of R1 and R2 with more than 16 units, the smoke alarms in the unit, so the old 110 battery, 110 smoke alarms would now be off the fire alarm system and integrated into that. So the battery backup for the fire alarm system, all that is now powering those low frequency sounder bases. So some nuances to that, but that will be coming through. This is not speaking to some vendors. This is not new out in the world. Other states that have adopted 2021 prior to this are all have all implemented this previously. So it's gonna be a change for us in our world, but it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, Jim.
Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I'm wondering, do you think, I mean, is this something that if you're a residential designer, they're going to be creating a complying standalone unit that you could use, let's say, yeah, in a residence?
So,
Or do you think there's not going to be the demand, so they won't do it?
well, I would say that if I am a smoke alarm manufacturer, I view this as an opportunity to fill a need in the market. And if I can get the pieces, parts, and power components to work, that there would be a large demand for it. Right now, no one's been able to crack that nut, so to speak. And so that's why the code gives them the ability to tie it into the fire alarm system. The code says you could do it either way. The one item that is on the market as a standalone system, I believe, is relatively expensive as well. And so, like most things, the technology, I think, in this instance has to catch up. And then on top of that, the manufacturing costs need to catch up to kind of drive the price down, which, does naturally happen over time.
Yeah, so someday they'll probably be a stand the standard, but not right now.
I expect somebody's working on it right now.
Yeah. Thank you.
Those are all my news and announcements, all the things I have to communicate here today. Does anyone else have anything that they'd like to add?
Do we have a
Motion.
motion? Opposed?
I'll move we adjourn.
The judges.
I'll second that.
All in favor, do not raise your hands. Looks like motion to close carries.
All right. Thank you very much, everybody. I appreciate the consideration here today. Take care, be well, have a happy Thanksgiving, and I will see you in the future.
You too. Thanks for all your help, Kyle.
You got it, Rich.